Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, in dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the issue has to do with involvement in false religious practices, involvement in the worship that takes place in the temple of an idol, and would therefore make you a participant in the worship, the false worship of that idol, along with the other people who are doing it. When it comes to that, Christians are not to do that. That's a very dangerous thing to do. It is wrong. And all of this comes up in the question of whether or not it's okay to eat meat offered to idols. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, yes, it's okay. The meat offered to the idol is good meat. And your eating it doesn't make you a partaker in idolatrous worship. That's a hard one for some Christians to understand, because some Christians are going to associate, If there's the slightest connection, then they say, you must not do it. You must not do it. I've had people ask me, what about yoga? The exercise, the yoga exercises that I've never involved myself in. But isn't that involved with false religion, Eastern religions and so forth? Shouldn't Christians leave that alone? Well, if you're going to involve yourself in the meditation techniques and the mind emptying techniques and so forth that do involve pagan worship, false worship, then yes, that's something you should stay away from. But the physical activity, the physical exercises, there's nothing unwholesome about that. There's nothing sinful about that. That's like eating meat offered to idols. So what? If somebody else makes that connection, you don't need to. You're involved. This is exercise. You're exercising your body to the glory of God. Bodily exercise profits a little. Not near as much as spiritual exercises, as far as what it profits, but it does profit. It's good for you. I hope you understand that. Most of us would benefit by doing a little bit more in the way of bodily exercise in the kind of society we live in today, where we don't walk everywhere like they did in the first century and get lots of exercise just by carrying out daily activities. But we ride in automobiles and sit in offices and enjoy the comforts of our home, and it's pretty easy to go day after day with very little physical exercise, and we all need some of that for our bodies to be strong and healthy. And if doing yoga exercises is the thing that works best for you, do it. Eat that meat in private to the glory of God. You're not sinning by doing that, but if somebody says, come to my yoga class because we do a whole lot more than exercise. We really get into the mind side of things. We sit around and hum, and do these oriental meditations and so forth that supposedly clear the mind, and even go farther than that in practices that are clearly false religion. Well, if that's the case, that's a different matter altogether. Stay away from false religious practices. That does not honor the Lord. But just because some exercises are utilized by some people in false religious practices doesn't mean that the exercises themselves, disassociated from that false religion, are sinful. That's what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 8. If you're just eating meat offered to idols, that's good. That's God-honoring. If you are going into the temple of the idol and participating in a ceremonial communal meal there with others who are worshiping the false god in that practice, that is a problem. You shouldn't be doing that. That signals your participation with false worship. That signals to other people that you agree with and you condone that false worship. That's wrong. That's what you should leave alone. Did I mention that today is Thursday, January 20, and that we are very much in need of your financial support for the Beacon broadcast to continue on this station? If I already did that earlier, please forgive me for repeating that. I can't recall whether I did or not. Let me give you one more example, then we're going to move on. I gave you the example of Halloween and how I think that applies to this. I gave you the example of Christmas and how I think that applies to this. Let me throw up one more holiday and how I think it applies. Take the holiday of Easter, the resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's some Christians that won't participate in Easter. Now, again, 99.9% of all the people I know only associate Easter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most of them have no idea that there are some pagan connotations if you go back far enough. In fact, I guess, I assume this is correct, I really haven't made a study of it, but I guess that the very term Easter is something of a corruption of the Egyptian god Ishtar. Am I right about that? Some of you will know more about that than I do. And so because of that, some people will have nothing to do with that. But same principle applies here. If you have to inform people of a long-forgotten pagan connection in order to tell them why they shouldn't do something, you have missed the point. In fact, you have actually made things worse by telling them something that they would not know and drawing a connection for them that they're not aware of, and thereby defiling their conscience and sullying their practices, because now they're going to be concerned about that. But to participate in the things that we do on the day that we call Easter, and I would rather call it Resurrection Sunday than Easter because of that term Easter that may have a pagan derivation. But listen, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. That's wonderful for God's people to be involved in that. That's like eating meat offered to idols. In disconnected from idolatrous worship, that's a good thing to do. Celebrating Easter in disconnected from any pagan connection is a good thing to do. So don't spoil it by drawing connections that nobody knows about, nobody has. If you have to teach them about a pagan connection that nobody's aware of, then you're doing the wrong thing. If people associate that with Christ and his resurrection, then let them associate that with Christ and his resurrection and to observe it to the glory of God. That's what Paul is teaching us here. But if somebody says, this Easter, don't go to church and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, come over to my house. We've got a little group of people who have learned about the religious practices, the religious worship of the god Ishtar, and I want you to come to my house and involve yourself in that on this coming Easter. And you do that, that would be wrong. That's exactly what Paul says here. Don't do that. Don't do that. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Don't do that. That's what's wrong. But as long as your thoughts and your practices are disassociated from anything pagan or false, it's not only not wrong, it's good. It's God-honoring, just like it's God-honoring to eat the meat that was offered by somebody else to an idol, but you didn't offer it to an idol, and you weren't even aware that it had been done necessarily, and even if you did, that's not what you're doing. You're eating good, wholesome food in praise to God and thanks to Him and an honor to Him, and that's a good thing to do. But don't go join yourself to the communal meal in the temples that's dedicated to the worship of a false god and participate with those idolatrous worshipers at that time. That's what's sinful. It's not consuming the meat that's sinful. It's identifying yourself with false religious practices in a obvious way, in a clear connection, not a clouded connection, not a questionable connection, not a long-forgotten connection, but a clear connection that everybody understands what that's about. That was part of Corinthian society. Everybody knew what that temple was dedicated to. Everybody knew what those communal meals were designed for. They're designed to give honor to the God that this temple has been erected to. And those who participate in those meals are worshipers of that God. No Christian should be doing that. But that's entirely different from buying some of the meat that somebody else offered in that temple and taking it home to your family and gathering your Christian friends and saying, let's enjoy this good meat together. You see, the truth of the matter is, if you want to make it your aim to find something in everything that has some kind of a questionable connection, you can probably find something wrong with every activity, every practice, and that's not what the Bible wants us to do. What did I say on a recent broadcast? Our goal is the Word of God, no more, no less. We don't add to it. We don't subtract from it. We don't add rules, regulations, and prohibitions on top of what the Bible gives and impose those upon the people of God. Not only should you observe these things, but don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Here, 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 here. We become Pharisees. Don't do that. The Bible, no more. No more than what the Bible teaches us. But don't subtract from it either. Don't ignore what it says. I can do what I want to do. I'll make the decisions. That's wrong too. We are people of the book. We follow what the Bible tells us. And as long as we're doing that, we're pleasing the Lord. And as soon as we stray from that on either side, we are dishonoring the Lord. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.